For my reflection this morning, I do have a couple of readings to begin with. One sentence religion. Somebody said that they imagined the sign would bring some interesting comments. I didn't hear any, but this is a quote from Reverend Galen Gingrich. He's the minister who followed Forrester Church as the minister of All Souls Church Unitarian in New York City. And I say that by changing one word, I might have written this quote. The role of religion, in my view, is to help us find our place as human beings within this universe we call home. You may recall that the word religion does not mean to liberate or set free, but rather to bind together. Religion unites the purpose of our lives as human beings with the purpose that animates the universe. Religion unites the meaning of our lives as human beings with the meaning that pervades the universe. Religion unites the spirit of humanity with the spirit that keeps the stars shining, the planets spinning, and the flowers blooming in springtime. I believe that gratitude is the appropriate religious response to the nature of the universe. I just said that I would change the appropriate religious response to an appropriate religious, or perhaps one very important religious response. I also add that our understanding and experience of the nature of the universe as he described it is a good way to think about the center of Unitarian Universalist theology. And I would say a good way to frame being unapologetically religious. The second reading continues with the word home, and it's from a chapter called Becoming at Home in the Universe. I've read part of it before. And it's from a book by Sharon Dalos Parks called Big Questions, Worthy Dreams. The subtitle is Mentoring Young Adults in Their Search for Meaning, Purpose, and Faith, but it's really for all of us. And she says that home is where we start from. It is what we aspire to. To be at home is to have a place in the scheme of life, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly love. Give me the key to that. To be at home within oneself, place, community, and the cosmos is to feel whole and centered in a way that yields a sense of power and participation. To be at home is to be able to make meaning of one's own life and of one's surroundings in a manner that holds regardless of what may happen at the level of immediate events. To be deeply at home in this world is to dwell in a worthy faith. Faith is generally understood as a form of meaning-making that is a quality of human living that at its best grounds capacities for confidence, courage, loyalty, and generosity, and even in the face of catastrophe and confusion, enables one to feel at home in the universe. Thus, to speak of faith is to point toward the meaning-making that frames, colors, provides tone and texture, and relativizes the activity of the everyday. All human action is conditioned by a felt sense of how life really is, or ought to be, or what has ultimate value. Human beings, either unself-consciously or self-consciously, individually and together, compose a sense of the ultimate character of reality, and then stake our lives on that sense of things. It is this act of composing and being composed by meaning that we are doing all the time, and that then she invites the reader to associate with the word faith. And the other quote is from my list of personal scriptures that I revisit over and over again, but it's by Oliver Wendell Holmes. And he says, "I don't give a fig for the simplicity this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for the simplicity, the other side of complexity. Exactly. Reason I say it that way, an idea, before it becomes an insight that organizes your experience, it's just an idea. But on the other side of the complexity of the confusion that requires a new insight, that insight then becomes the organizing simplicity. And what I can say to you about one sentence religion or one idea, it may be simple to me because I've worked to where it is an insight. But to get there is the complexity, the simplicity, this side of complexity. That's it. It's just walking through, passing through what the imagination does to give us those new insights. Some people would call it the voice of God, you know, however you want to understand it. But it's that coming to the organizing sense that, again, helps you feel at home in the universe. We've been talking about religion as a word of orientation, as a simple notion. Again, how do you get and stay oriented in your home? What is your home in the universe? And I've used faith as the word for that meaning making that provides you with a sense of comfort and home. And then I got back a lot of feedback that the word faith didn't connect because you couldn't disconnect it from your organized religious backgrounds and understanding. Faith connected to church, connected to God, back to faith as something that was a prescriptive belief. So to try to frame it as the activity that we're doing all the time to orient ourselves in life and love was not something that could connect. So what we did was we did a workshop a few weeks ago and invited people to believe. We used a church that you all go to, National Public Radio, and that you believe in, and we used the This I Believe piece that was on National Public Radio and then was also created by, I don't know if you'd call him a minister that you listened to, many of you listened to years ago, but it was Edward R. Murrow who originated this in the 1950s. This, I believe, is a way for people to write down their personal philosophies, their guiding understandings. Does that sound like orientation or the way they make meaning in the universe? Each of us individually, the personal philosophies that guide our lives. And one of the prompts is to begin with one sentence. Just to say in one sentence what you believe and then give examples. Well, what we did was we brainstormed and said things in one sentence, and then we took 5 minutes of free writing to write it out, to write out our 300 to 500 word piece, that's what it was, to say what we believed, what our guiding sense was. Free writing means you don't pick up your pen, you just keep writing. Even if you get stuck, you keep writing, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, until it comes to you to write again. And people were saying, a lot like what you said about, about the simplicity, the other side of complexity, they were saying, where did those ideas come from that I ended up writing on the paper? And it was just by sitting and writing. So that brought me to the idea of one sentence religion, the compass for your orientation, or what home in the universe looks like or feels like in one sentence. And yesterday I was driving across Main Street to go to Miller's Cleaners, so it's third in Main, and just as I got to cross Main, there was a group of people holding up signs right by the gym museum, you know, there in that corner. And they were all signs with one sentence on them, right? And they were things like, are you willing to risk your eternity? So it went from there. But it really was the statement of how they orient. And it said, are you willing to risk being lost for eternity? That's not much more disoriented that you can get. Are you willing to be lost for eternity? And one of the quotes they had was, give me a one-sentence summary of evangelical fundamentalist Christian religion. John 3:16. I mean, that was on one of the signs, right? So what does that say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him, but it's really so that whosoever believeth in him, but so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That's how they orient. That's the statement of how to orient to life. But Jesus said, the essence of religion that we might frame, not that theology of Jesus as God, he said, love God and your neighbor as yourself. One sentence, religion, Jesus. Another one sentence is the great, what's called the Great Commission from Micah, the Hebrew Bible, Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. What a great beginning. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Many of you are nodding because you know that. You might tell me what that leaves out. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. One of the people I listed with their one sentence of religion was Abraham Lincoln. When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. You say, well, where does he get the sense of God, of good? Just remove one letter and you've got God. But where does he get that sense of good? Well, you could go back to Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal. So there you go. Many of us know the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and other versions of it in other cultures. Or do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. So that's a different version of it to get you thinking. And somebody over here should go, huh? On that one. That's Rabbi Hillel. Here's how he says it. Do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. That is the Torah. Everything else is commentary. If you can do good, then do good. But if you cannot do good, at least refrain from doing harm. That's the Buddha. Kurt Vonnegut's version is, if you can do no good, at least do no harm. So think about that. All right. Susan B. Anthony, who was the abolitionist when asked, or not abolitionist, with the women's right to vote, asked if you pray. She said, I pray with my work. Asked about life after death, bringing this down to home. Life lived well here is the best preparation for whatever is to come. Again, the Dalai Lama. Love and compassion are the true religions to me, but to develop this, we do not need to believe in any religion. He also says, and we'll come back to this, but my true religion is kindness. One thing I think about when I think about faith and trying to make meaning in a complex world is I go to people who've done a lot of work thinking about it, and then I read their conclusions, or I talk to them, and then I put my faith in what they have said because I've experienced what they've said and I've studied what they've said. And one of these is Karen Armstrong, who is a historian of religion. And in her book, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life, she says, all faiths insist that compassion is the test of true spirituality. all faiths. And then she says that it brings us into relation with the transcendence we call God, Brahman, Nirvana, or the Tao. She went on to form a charter of compassion, and she got six faith traditions together in Switzerland in February 2009. And here's the opening to the charter. The principle of compassion, one sentence. The principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions, calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves. What's hard about that? All the rest is commentary, but that's where we live, is in the commentary. But where do we start, and how does it organize our thoughts? So what are our orienting understandings? That's all you're asking about when you ask, what is your faith that organizes you? And the way we started it out was with this I believe. We went, we sat, we visited a dozen of us 2 weeks ago, and we free wrote. And from those writings, and we began with one sentence, a one-sentence statement of our belief. And so this morning, Pat Wakely is going to share a little bit of hers, and Kay Nelson is going to share a little bit of hers. Is Robert Laney here? I know Robert didn't bring his. I should have called him. But what we're going to do, it's not the whole this I believe, but it's kind of the opening statement. And later on, we're going to do another workshop around this, and we're also going to have services sort of oriented around this theme. So, Pat, would you come?
Thank you, Jim. We have food for thought there to keep us busy for a lifetime. So there are so many different ways to think about religion and to approach the sacred. And I've tried to boil things down to two statements related to each other that help guide me in my daily life. First, I believe in a personal God. You might call that a mantra. If people can have souls and dogs can be people, then why can't God be a person? That's the way I figure it. And God is real, not just a metaphor. God is a real person. Second mantra related to that is that we can experience God. In fact, as I see it, the purpose of organized religion is to help us connect to God. This means a two-way relationship. We can experience God, and God can communicate with us, in a sense, through prayer, meditation, nature, worship, service to others, art, sex, music, housework, study, earning a living. On my bedroom wall, there's a plaque with words spoken by Rumi, the 13th century Persian mystic and poet. The plaque says, "There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground." End quote. Everything in life can help connect us with God. Everything we do can be holy. That's my second mantra. Now, I realize this may sound like la-la land to some of you, but that I'd love to talk to you. If you feel like it, we can talk to each other, and I can get to know your mind, and I thank you for listening.
Hi, everybody. One of my core beliefs is that all people deserve compassion and fairness. I was not born with these values. I learned them from my mother, who was a gem. I appreciate her more and more as the older I get. She modeled those values in her daily living. She was especially concerned with the oppressed and the downtrodden. And to illustrate what I learned from her, I would like to tell you about a trip on the bus when I was 7 in Hartford, Connecticut. My mom and I went up on the bus, and she told me that if the bus, if there are no seats on the bus at some point, to get up and give my seat to an adult. And if I had the choice to give my seat to a black person. So I was really psyched, very excited, very determined, and couldn't wait for the bus to stop and the door to open. And what happened was that the door opened and a rather frail elderly black woman and got on the bus. So I make a beeline toward this lady. I can remember it to this day. Reach out with my hand, took her hand, and led her to my seat. And when she got off the bus, my mother simply looked down at me. She smiled at me. She patted my knee a couple of times, and she said, "Well done." I will never forget this. She could not have given me a better or more important lifetime gift. And this sense of fairness has influenced my thoughts and my actions throughout my lifetime. And I often wonder who taught my mother these values that she could have instilled them in me. And I also have to say that I picked up some of her flakiness, which is more likely in the genes, which is a little scary, especially when I think of the past and some of my present relatives. We have some pretty eventful get-togethers. Have a great day.
So you can see how easy it is. You can see how connected it is. You can see how diverse it is. That's from two examples. And they both look at each other and go, "I don't know how she got to that conclusion."